Hey friend, it's Stephanie Radcliffe, your host of the Stories Begin at Home podcast. I'm a homeschool mom of five from Florida, fixing up a charming 1950s home in the center of our city, adventuring with my wildlings and embracing a natural learning, living is learning lifestyle. I know firsthand the overwhelm and informational overload that we can find ourselves in these days regarding education and parenting choices. I created this space so we could inhale and exhale together. We'll chat all things homeschool, natural learning, gentle and respectful parenting, and faith-filled motherhood. But don't let any of those terms deter you. We don't judge a book by its cover over here, and all are welcome. Let's embrace our unique family stories and grow in confidence as we learn to trust ourselves and our children. So grab your coffee or tea, listen as you do dishes or change another load of laundry. Take a deep breath, grab a pen, literal or figurative, and let's rewrite freedom, joy, and connection in our homes and homeschools. All stories begin somewhere. Let's make ours begin at home. Hi, friends. I'm beyond excited to introduce this new episode to you as I had the sincere pleasure of chatting with one of my favorite unschooling gurus, Sue Patterson, over at Unschooling Mom to Mom on Instagram, and that's her website name too. Sue is an unschooling coach and mentor and has three grown adult children that she unschooled. I'm not going to say a whole lot more because she just says it so much better and with such sheer joy, but we chat about how we really can unschool and how it actually does work. It was such a fresh breath of air to chat with her, and I could literally listen to her all day. She has such wisdom and encouragement to share with us about how we truly can live a life of learning without school, pressures, and societal expectations regarding learning, especially math. One of the biggest questions I get about unschooling is, but what about math? How will children learn math if we don't use curriculum and make them sit down for lessons every day? Or what about teens and how do we unschool them? Sue and I talk all about this and more on the episode. So thanks for joining us and I hope you enjoy. One more thing. Something that helps this podcast and helps to spread the word so that other mamas looking for encouragement and natural learning, gentle parenting, and faith-filled motherhood can find us is by leaving a review. Scroll down past the episodes on your Apple Podcasts and you can find where to click for leaving a review. If you prefer Spotify, click on the three dots right under the Stories Begin at Home icon on the main show page and you can rate the show. I hope you can take the time to tell us what you're loving about the podcast, and I'm so thankful you take the time to do so. You can always share the show or a specific episode with a friend too. You can follow the show so you're notified when new episodes are published. And you can follow along over on Instagram at Stories Begin at Home as I post when new episodes are published and share all things natural learning, gentle parenting, and faith-filled motherhood over there as well. You can also join the Stories Begin at Home email list. I'm beyond thankful for your support. So for real this time, let's dive in to the episode.
In the beginning, I'm like, is it gonna work right? Right? I'm like, I don't have to do anything.
Yeah,
how great. Wonderful, wonderful. Oh, I'm excited to do this.
Yes, me too. I'm so excited. I mean, I'm not even gonna get into it all now because it'll pop up later, but you've been just such an encouragement to me. So I'm so excited to chat. So yes. So let's get right to it. I know, like, I've had a lot of excitement around this because, like I said, I think one of the biggest questions, there's like three top questions I get about unschooling, and like math is maybe number one.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to dive in. So tell us about yourself for people listening who maybe don't know you.
Okay. Well, first, let me just say about math. I think that's so interesting that we all have this like national phobia about math, and then we want to duplicate the very process that gave us this phobia. Let's try to back up and undo
yes.
a little bit. So we'll talk more about that. But yeah, hi. If we have never met, I'm Sue Patterson, and I run all things unschooling mom to mom. So started with a group of moms that were unschoolers, and we wanted kind of a kinder, gentler place where people could come get some information, solid, good information, not kind of, there was a lot of really weird information out there. And I'm sure a lot of people have run across them and they're like, I'm not going to do that. And so I want to help dispel a lot of those myths, because unschooling is not weird. Unschooling is just how we learned before school, and it's how we learned after school. It's how we learned after school on the school days, on the weekends. It's how real people learn. School, the school approach to learning, is the weird thing. Because life doesn't come at us in lanes of subjects. You know, it's almost like in school, you could get really good grades by doing fast computations and answering. You read the first sentence at the top of the paragraph and you'll be able to do the comprehension questions. Doesn't matter if you didn't listen to it or learn it or any of that. You just want a good score. And so that kind of like makes that whole mentality go that way. And so, you know, for me, when I was in school, I was pretty smart and I did a lot of that kind of stuff. I hated word problems because it was too much information. I'm like,
me too.
Why are they buying so many cantaloupes? What are they going to do with them? And so I would start to think about all this other extraneous information that they were trying to distract me with. But the truth is, real life is one word problem after another.
Yeah.
And so if, you know, we have all kinds of data coming at us. And I saw listened to a really interesting podcast from the Freakonomics people. And they were talking about how in high school, everybody tries to cram all the information in. You know, maybe somebody wants this much of it, but it could has to go for everybody. Then when they go to college, they specialize and they are just in their lane, you know, of like, I like this kind of stuff and this is the way I learn best and it works. They're like, if instead high school was more about data analysis, understanding what you're reading, what the strategy is, how does it apply to real life? They would be in so much better shape. And so I thought, yeah, that's what we've been doing. You know, we do consumer math and personal finance. We can put all these fancy labels on all of the regular daily math. And anyway, so unschooling works. And that's my own three kids are now 29, 32, and 34.
Okay.
There's some of the ages of some of the people watching.
Yes,
and,
me.
You. Oh, how sweet. Anyway.
35.
Are you?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, we, you know, the way we started was I was just a suburban mom who sent my kids to school and worked part-time, and I was a nurse. My husband was in the military. I had three kids. Sent Michael off to kindergarten. And I had a clue at the beginning when we went in there and they gave us this list of all the things that he was going to learn in kindergarten. I'm like, he already knows that. Now what are we going to do? Oh, well, we'll just reinforce it. Okay. So within like the first couple of weeks, he's bringing home the red folder because he's reading off the chalkboard before they were supposed to, or he's poking a kid next to him, or he won't stand still in line, or he talks too much, or all these things. And it really kind of made him think, what's wrong with me? Why am I always in trouble? And so by first grade, he was still that way. Of course, by then they said, oh, I think we'll put him in gifted and talented. And Michael, if you're watching this, it's not that, it's not that he was like a brainiac kid. He just liked to learn. He was curious. We read a lot. He was an early reader, and, you know, some kids do, some kids don't. And, but he didn't follow their standard way of doing it. And so first grade, they said, I think we'll put him in the gifted and talented program. And, of course, it was during the time slot that they had PE. And this was a kid that needed to run around the building a few times, you know, typical 7-year-old.
Yes.
And it was okay. It was endangered species and how to make a puppet show about it. I'm like, we did that last weekend, just on our own for fun. And because he was kind of curious, he was the kind of kid that you could buy him a whole package of tape and he'd be so excited because he was going to cut things out.
I have one of those.
Yes, yes. And so they said, I think Michael needs ADHD medication.
Oh,
he
gosh.
He won't sit still. I'm like, he sits still enough to make his little tape creation. He sits still enough to watch the 9-hour VCR tape I had of the Magic School Bus.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he has that. And they're like, yeah, but, you know, if we could get just a little bit of medication in him, he could have more success in school. And that's what matters. I'm like, to you. Not to me. And so I met somebody who had, this was like 1995.
Wow.
I met somebody who had teenagers, and they made eye contact and they were funny and they had conversations, and I peeked in the kitchen and they were throwing bubbles in each other's faces while they were washing the dishes because we were at some luncheon thing at the general's wife's house or something. And I thought, okay, tell me more about this. The only homeschooling family I knew was weird. Like, they wouldn't let us come in their house, and we had to play in their yard. I mean, I'm like, I don't have a good experience. And so she's like, no, of course, she did say, all kinds of people are coming to homeschooling now. And I thought, oh, God, I'm probably exactly what she's worried about, but I'm not going to tell her. And so I wanted learning to be fun. I wanted learning to be not a place that made you feel like you weren't doing anything right.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that was just like chiseling away at him. Mm-hmm. And I looked at those third graders that seemed so big when he was in first grade, and they looked like zombies. They were just hanging and walking through the halls. Now, granted, it was Texas and they didn't have good AC. but
I hear that. I'm in Florida.
Yeah. They weren't happy with their school experience. And so I thought, okay, well, just try it for a little bit. We were about to move from San Antonio to Alaska, and I thought, we'll just do it while we're up there. We'll explore, we'll have fun. When we come back, we'll figure it out. You know, we'll just live in the moment. And so I gathered some information about homeschooling, and I thought, I'll just sparkle up all these subjects because I didn't know yet. I had never even heard the word unschooling. Mm-hmm. And so I found all these catalogs that had science equipment, and I'm like, yes, this will be so fun. And ironically, this is a long story. I didn't mean to be. Ironically, we chose Calvert, which their tagline is school in a box.
I read that on your blog.
Yeah. And so I thought, well, we'll be in Alaska. They're in Baltimore. They won't know how we do it. And so, you know, I've always been a little bit rebellious, and then they wanted him to write about the little red car, and they had a picture of a convertible. We were in Alaska. There were no red convertibles. And so I said, well, can we write about the moose that just came up to the window because there's an earthquake and they come out from between the houses because they can feel it and it's a natural thing that they do? Oh, no, because the letters don't connect correctly. I'm like, but that's what he wants to write about. He doesn't, you know, I'm going to get 3-letter sentences. Does that matter? No, because it's all about the letter connection. And I'm a writer, and I'm like, no, it's not. It's about the creative writing process. So yeah. He and I had a ceremonial breaking of the pencils. We shall not write for that woman in Baltimore. And, and you know, because of course I had to have the teacher oversight because I couldn't trust myself to do it. So I'd paid extra for that. And, but by the end of the year, we had met someone that unschooled and said, you should look at it. And I had read Mary Griffith's homeschooling handbook. And I read about this category called unschooling. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I wonder if that will work. And in my mind, I'm thinking, we're talking second grade. You know, half of the world still plays all the way up to age 10.
I don't think a lot of people realize that. Yep.
Yeah. And so I'm like, let's just play and then we'll see. And I'll just kind of try to focus a little here and there. And what we discovered was real life learning was so much deeper, so much fuller, so much richer. And because I'd kind of given myself this window of we'll be in Alaska for 2 or 3 years, we'll just dive in. And so I didn't have like hanging on the back of my head, well, what about this week? Where's the history? Or what about this week? I was like, you know, I could see it everywhere. You know, we were looking at Tlingit tribe things and we were, you know, there were just so many cool things to learn about. And we just did. And it became this adventure that we stayed with. And then we moved to California where we met a ton of unschoolers. Right. And we're like, this is definitely our path because why would we go back to a paler, more critical, not so great approach, you know? So that's what we did.
I love that.
So that's my story.
I love it too because, I would love to hear from your perspective. If you think that that many years ago, it was like a pioneer kind of thing. You said you met a lot in California.
Yeah. I don't think I was a pioneer. I think I'm kind of pioneering now because all my peers have said, I'm done with this. It's the same questions over and over. I'm like, oh, be kind. Somebody listened to us when we said these dumb things. I don't mean that. You know.
So funny.
But I mean,
well, I just say that because in my experience, like when even now when I say unschooling, it still seems to be more on the radical side. Yep. It still seems to be, you know, that sort of thing. And so, you know, there's been different people I've talked to. I'm like, no, there are people who have done this. Like they have adult children. They've done this. And so I just didn't know if you felt like, oh man, I'm one of the only ones
to be honest, the adult kids that I knew, like we lived near the Hegners and they ran Home Education magazine back in the 90s and early 2000s. And their kids were snowboarders. And Sandra's kid was a little bit old, and he's just a couple years older than Michael Sandra Dodds, and he worked in a video game store. And I kept thinking, but what about the rest? You know, what? And then I thought, well, when high school comes, we'll deal with it.
Yeah.
And then I didn't really, you know, one thing just kind of led to another. You know, we were finding that, well, you can't do the Japanese exchange student program if you do this school thing. So I guess we won't go this year either. Or you can't do this. I guess we won't, you know, we would always weigh it out. We're like, that's lame. We're not doing it.
Yeah.
And when we discovered you could do dual enrollment,
yeah,
and you could get into college as a community college student. And that's what I really learned from the unschoolers in California, because their college system is really, well, it used to be super easy. Kids were getting in there like at 14.
Wow.
And taking pottery classes or just having that exposure to that there is a world where people learn like this.
Yeah.
And so like my son, the first time he set foot in a classroom after his first grade experience was college. And the only time, this is funny, the only time he ever set foot in a high school was when he taught the teachers in Nicaragua how to teach English, because he went as the Peace Corps. And he's like, oh, that's the first time I've been in a high school. So it's funny. But, you know, when I found that you could get into community college and basically trade your whole K through 12 experience for a couple of semesters. So like Katie, my middle child, had done all singing, dancing, theater, one show after another, all the things that you just wouldn't have been able to do if you had had school too. You know, I looked at those kids that were at rehearsal and they're sitting there doing their homework in the seats. And I'm like, ugh. And, you know, for what? Katie's right. Going to go to college too.
Right.
You're worried about going to college. Well,
yeah.
You know, you've kind of fed a bill of goods, to be honest. And so, so Katie did poorly. She wasn't that great on testing. So she did poorly on the assessment, the entrance exam for community college. And so she was like, oh, bummer. And let's do another show. And comes back to it a year later. And the counselor says, you know, you don't have to take that test again. you can just take the classes that you qualify for, which is basically a remedial kind of developmental pass or fail type of class. Right. So she had 3 semesters of math, 2 semesters of writing, and 1 semester of reading. And that was, she goes, Mom, I'm in a classroom full of people that went through 12 years of school and they needed it too, because they didn't score high enough to take the class, the college algebra. And so she took it. She goes, when's someone going to ask me about the quadratic equation? I'm like, never, you know? And so, but she did it and she did great in it. And, you know, she was 19 at the time. Wow. So she didn't have to do anything at 18. She thought she was going to go to Carnegie Mellon. And I thought, well, let's do a little community college first. Let's have a little cheaper English and a couple of things besides the Carnegie Mellon prizes for some of the other stuff. And in the end, she's like, no, I don't want that degree. I just want to go to the New York Film Academy. So she went off to the New York Film Academy instead.
Wow.
And ended up getting an associate degree and now lives in LA and writes movies and does.
Oh my gosh.
An actress and also a Grubhub deliverer and a waitress and a dog walker and all the things that those actors in LA have to do. And
that's amazing.
So yeah, I think that, you were asking about Pioneer, and I think we knew a couple of people, and I didn't really care what other people did, because I was like, we're going to have a life.
Yeah.
And I was really kind of the mentality of, we'll fix it on the fly.
I love that.
And so if we have a problem, we'll back up a couple steps and, you know, school will always take you back. We pay taxes.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I think we're going to do this. Yeah. And so now I can tell you from the other side, looking back, the kids do not regret it. They have had so many times that somebody says, how do you know that? Like, didn't your parents talk to you? And they're like, no, we didn't have time for that. I was doing my algebra.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't do algebra. You didn't do algebra. How do you own this business and have a payroll of 12 people and you never did algebra? Well, I don't really need it for what I'm doing. I guess if I needed it, I would learn it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we learned. If you need it, you'll learn it.
Yeah.
Because for the people that worry about unschooling, I think that the thing to remember is school comes from a completely different vantage point, that they look at it and it's all kids must learn all of this at this age. And so the material, whether it's homeschooling or school, the material is the most important thing to run the kids through it and make sure they've had exposure, which we all know how many times we're like looking out the window and not paying attention and we don't remember. And
every day in school.
Right. And then we as moms are home with them and we're like, now we're going to be judged if you don't know. So now we hammer even harder because they don't even get to look out the window like we did in school, because there's an extra layer in there. Where unschooling says, forget that. Start with the learner and see what they need. And when you start with the learner and keep going into, oh, I'm going to need to know that skill to be able to do the thing that I want to do.
Yes.
I've reason to learn it. I'll do it.
Yeah.
And then they'll move forward. So it's just a different perspective on how to approach learning.
Yeah.
But they learn everything they need.
Yeah. It's so fascinating. I told you with the questions that I prepared and then even via some DMs that we shared that a friend of mine about 3 years ago, and I didn't know that that was when you started basically unschooling mom to mom, shared your podcast with me because I was so frustrated and at my wit's end on homeschooling. And I wasn't questioning homeschooling. I knew that I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
But I thought I had deschooled. Like I really thought that I had. And now we know it's not a one and done thing. And I'm not going to sit and say I've arrived now, because I surely have not. But I thought I had to school a whole lot more than I had. And so it was
and
just perfect
I really
timing.
Think I really think that a lot of times in the homeschooling community, there's kind of a push towards do your 2 weeks of deschooling so then you can get started on your curriculum.
Yeah.
And that's so wrong. You know, and I don't really know.
That's exactly where I was at.
People do what they do, but that's wrong.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was at. I was like, okay, well, I've let go of this or this. And basically what I was doing is just abbreviating the school day.
Yeah.
Trying to make it as short as we could. And I found myself at war in my head because I would say, let's do this so we can go play. And then I'm like, wait, but that's not what I wanted to be
in my life here.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
So, and my
kids, and what good learning is really coming from that?
Right. Right. Yeah. Or, and teaching them that this is the boring, hard part. We got to get it over with so that we can go live our life and do the fun part. It was all disconnected. Yeah, absolutely.
I will just say that Unschooling Mom to Mom, I had it as a Facebook page since about 2012.
Okay.
And because I've been blogging since about 2009. And then I wrote my book in 2013 about homeschooled teens. And then, and all the
what questions. Is that called?
What is it called? Homeschooled teens. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, and I interviewed 75 young people from like 15 to 32 about what their life was like as teenagers.
Okay.
So I'd been to all these conferences and I had heard all these panels of teenagers answering questions. Those rooms would be packed. Everybody would want to see what do they look like? What do they act like? not like they were coming. Do animals, but anyway, and so I thought, well, all those questions that I heard, like, can they get into college? How will they learn? Will they make friends? Do they care that they didn't have a prom? Did they have something else? Will they do this with their kids? Do they hate their mom? All the questions that everybody asks. And so I asked them all and they all answered. They were so candid. They're not all, about 60 to 80% were unschoolers. Others were, some were homeschooled. Some were, it was just a self-selected thing where people agreed to answer my survey. And it's really reassuring. It'll really help people that want to know what was it really like? Because it's in their own words. And so it's kind of, it's, you know, I just have their quotes for each thing. It's kind of an interesting little layout. Anyway. Well,
I'll say math is one of the biggest questions I get. And then what about older kids?
Yeah.
Is another huge one. So.
So those are my two big focuses.
Focus. Yeah.
I don't know if that's the point. Okay. No, I don't know.
So let's dive into math. And I want to, so for those of you who don't know, we're going to turn this into a podcast episode. So I'm excited for that. And I'll definitely in the notes and everything, point people to your math course that you have created specifically for this very question. Right. So let's talk a little bit more about first, before we dive into math specifically, and we talked about it a little bit, but for those that maybe deschooling is like a new word for them, or, they're kind of starting on that. What is that and how do we go about it? You just said 2 weeks and then dive into curriculum is not the way. So what is it?
So deschooling is something that we kind of have to do in our own heads, that it's not about our kids and their deschooling. It's really about us.
Yeah.
Really. We always think I'll deschool the kids, but the kids are usually pretty happy for the freedom. Right. You know, they don't really need, they don't have like, oh, what will happen to me? They don't have that. but we do. And so we have to kind of start to peel back the layers. And so the way you deschool is you start to start with your fears. Your fears might not have been my fears or her fears or his. And so what are the fears that are really holding you back from just embracing a life filled with learning? Right? That's not compartmentalized to be like school. Okay. So if you're like, okay, fine. So you say there is that such of a thing. what, now I'm afraid about the teen years. I'm afraid about them making friends. I'm afraid about them being awkward. I'm afraid about them not having decent social skills. I'm afraid about them not learning any math. I'm afraid about them being ignorant. No one will ever want them on their Trivial Pursuit team. And, you know, all the things people worry about.
Mm-hmm.
So the ones that worry you, dive into that. Lean towards it. Get answers on that specific thing. Don't let the laundry or the dishes or the other stuff distract you from the mental effort that it's going to take to get the answers to your questions. And that's what deschooling is about. It's that time of looking at, school said we all had to have math or history in this very linear way. Who said? Who really said? Does it really? Why? Does it matter? Or was it really because the legislators in Texas, because they're the biggest curriculum buying state, chose this particular curriculum, and now that's what everybody does because that's what Saxon says.
Saxon.
You know, and it's not nearly as from the learner driven type of a thing. So that's really your goal. You're releasing the idea that teaching, the trappings of teaching, is the focus. You're going to start with the learner and grow up instead of the teacher and build down. So you're kind of dismantling the school approach to learning. And so when you think, oh, well, they got to have fractions in fourth grade, and because then they'll have percentages in fifth grade. No, because I guarantee your kids that play video games have been dealing with percentages and decimals and coin economies and strategizing and how many trees do they have to plant in order to get this many boards to build this many things in Minecraft. They're messing with math.
Yeah.
And we're dismissing it because it doesn't look familiar.
Yeah.
And so
it's too fun to be math.
Right. You can't enjoy math. and that's, And we were really conditioned to believe that. We were conditioned by the teachers who also didn't like math and had to teach it. I mean, some of them were real math teachers and they were lovely.
Yeah.
And some of them were forced to teach it and they didn't like it either. And they gave us that impression of, let's just get through this.
Yeah.
And so then we kind of adopted that, because that let's get through this thing takes the responsibility off our back. We don't have to feel bad because it's math. Of course, mm-hmm. That's, you know, instead of, wow, maybe I should look at why I don't like it, because I certainly like knowing the statistics of my football team, or I like knowing how the strategies work on my games, and I really like finding a good shopping deal, and I'm really great with my planning, or I'm terrible with my time management, and all of these things that are math that are weaving through our lives that we could focus on instead.
Yeah.
So for deschooling, it's a period of time where we look at what really are we afraid of when it comes to seeing learning and life together, and then tackling each of those and discovering usually that school and society conditioned us to believe a certain thing that flat out isn't true. We can learn from documentaries. We can learn from conversations. We can learn from fabulous YouTube channels. We can learn from so many different ways, and it doesn't have to be checking a box and doing curriculum. Curriculum is kind of like the shallow end of the pool. You can stay down there. But if you've got an entire pool to swim in, why would you just stay where it's needed?
Yeah.
You're afraid to leave it. Because you've been conditioned to be afraid. You've been conditioned to don't step out of line. You could get humiliated if you make a mistake. Look what happens to those troublemakers. I don't want to be that. I don't want my kid to be that. All that stuff that just teaches us to conform.
Yeah.
And we don't have to, that. And so deschooling is a little bit of that. It's a little bit of learning new stuff about learning. And what happens for unschooled families is they start breaking that apart and they start unschooling. And then because deschooling never really ends,
yeah,
because the kids get older and now it's a new thing to be afraid of. I was fine with an 8-year-old not doing this, but now a 10-year-old not doing this.
Whoa.
And so
yeah.
Then they're like, well, why? Why does it matter? You know, could it be okay? Could the alternative be even better? Could the alternative that we have a good connection, that they know how to find resources and research things, and that the world isn't going to be the same place that it was when we were kids, and certainly not when our kids are adults. It's going to be giantly different. So learning how to use the resources is the most important part, more than rote memorization. That's just to make everybody feel better. Right. It's really not about learning.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
Yeah, it's crazy, but like what you're saying, that we're afraid of what is actually, in your experience and my very short window of experience so far, of something deeper and richer. Like,
right.
It's crazy.
Right.
But yeah, very interesting. Okay. So let's go ahead and get to math then.
Okay.
So you've said it a little bit, but why do you think math, I mean, I just love to hear your opinion, is like the boogeyman. Like, why do you think it's one of the biggest things that people are afraid to go off the books for? I think, like I said, it's the biggest question, not only is how will they learn math, but how do I teach it without a curriculum? That's
right. Well, how you teach it is you live it, you know? And so what I would invite people to do is go on a scavenger hunt in your house. Look around in your living room, find 20 things that have to do with math. Mm-hmm. What would that be? You know, at first you're like, I don't have any math in here.
Yeah.
But you're holding your phone, aren't you? Do you have a phone number? Do you have the ways that it connects is math? The shapes of the cabinets and the television and the doorways are right angles. Yeah. And no, you may not know that it's a right angle as an 8-year-old. You may not. Or you may say, oh, look at how the arch, I'm looking in my room. Look at how the arch over the bar is kind of like a circle, but cut in half. And look at how there's round things around the doors. And so you're like playing with geometry, or you're looking at dice, or you're stacking books so that they don't fall because the big ones are on the bottom and they get smaller as they go up. Or you're thinking about, I only have about 15 more minutes. So before I have to start dinner, where I need to pull stuff out of the freezer, and how long does it take for that to thaw, and how much is my pan big enough to hold the roast? And what about the oven temperature? Or, you know, there's nowhere to sit at the table because there's a project all over. You're looking around and you're thinking about math. You're thinking about time and money and distance and shapes and sorting and building all the time.
Yeah.
As you were asking that question, I don't know why we think it's so bad.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened to us, because as little kids, we loved it. We stacked, we played Lego, we built towers. You know, my kids had those Cuisinaire rods because, you know, that's what everybody had in the 90s. But they did, they've just built towers.
Right.
You know? And so they were just learning about physics and learning. I think the thing is that we think the labeling is the important part and not the integration of the knowledge. Mm-hmm. My favorite story is that Texas A&M, I'm in Texas. Texas A&M is like an agricultural school. And so all these farm boys go there and they're getting degrees in engineering, and people are like, how do they know this? What's going on here? And they're like, well, I didn't know what it was called, but I know that when you have to lift a bale of hay that's this big, and you have to have it up to this height, you've got to do these different things.
Yeah.
You know, so they had all of this real life experience that then when they went to college, they could hook onto.
Yeah.
As opposed to kids that don't have life experience, they've got nothing to hook on. It's just ether. They learn the abstract too soon.
Yeah.
Whereas if they had just been bailing A or playing on Minecraft, because that's going to do the same thing. That if they go to college, my son was playing all kinds of World of Warcraft and all kinds of stuff. He now has an MBA.
Yeah.
He didn't write a research paper or a book report or any of those things that we all think, oh, you got to do.
Yeah.
All that does is tell the teacher I did the work.
Right.
It doesn't really assess how do you like it.
Yeah.
What is this something you will do in your life?
Yeah.
Will you? He ended up with a degree in journalism because the kid liked to talk. And he discovered I can talk to more people if I write. And he wanted to be a travel writer because he really just wanted to travel and he wanted to have it paid for. So he, you know, oh, whatever. I mean, it's all just kind of a weird.
Well, and I love that story too. And that we could have a whole nother chat about writing, because whenever I feel insecure about writing, I read your blog about how you didn't ever make him write. And now he's in trouble.
At all.
I love it.
The sum total was sometimes he had to write something for his Boy Scout badge. But he could just etch it out and it was all right. And to be honest, his writing wasn't any worse than the kids in his Boy Scout troop. And they were all school kids, you know. And it was very little. And he picked badges that he didn't have to write much.
That would be my son.
Didn't enjoy it. And that's okay. Because what you do by letting them have that kind of freedom is that you end up giving them they don't think I'm not good at writing. They don't think I hate writing. You don't start to make those kind of ruts in the road, which when you're sitting there browbeating your kid, come on, it's not hard. It's two sentences. When I was in school, I had to write all this. I'm only asking you to do two sentences. And they're like, no. You see, I know.
Not gonna lie.
So what does that really teach? Right. That teaches mom doesn't care. Mom doesn't know about my life. Mom didn't know about my preferences. My hand hurts. I can't please her anyway. I hate writing.
Right.
That was the last thing I wanted as a writer for my kids to hate writing. I'm like, you may not be good at it, but you're not going to hate it.
I love that. Yeah, absolutely.
So sometimes people worry about writing and they think, well, how will they learn to spell? How will they learn all these other mechanics of it? It is amazing how when the kids are 19, 20, or Alyssa, who didn't learn to read till she was 10 and never wrote a book report, never wrote anything like that. She had to write a policy and procedure manual at her work. But by 20, she could do that. She had read some, she'd seen some. She's like, okay. And I was her proofer. So, you know, we're like, okay. Because I don't like leave.
Right.
So, I mean, it's
I think you say it too. Well, first of all, you always say there's no educational emergencies.
Right.
And learning doesn't stop after 18. So if they don't know something at 18 or after, they can learn it. There's time.
I had to learn how to do this or how to run Zoom or how I just learned how to make my playlist at YouTube be podcasts. Oh, who knew? I did that last night.
That's and awesome.
So we're all learning all the time.
Yep.
And when we, I think that maybe some of it has to do with when you have school saying, we are the beacon of knowledge. You must come to us. It's the great and powerful Oz. That's not true, you know? And so it implies, I can remember Michael coming home from school and him saying, no, my teacher said, don't ask you because you're not going to tell it to me right. What? It's first grade. You know, I know a diphthong, or I could look it up. Another word. And I think school kind of drives a wedge in the family. And I don't know if they're doing it deliberately. I know they did it deliberately when they tried to put kids to work in factories.
Right.
And there is an awful lot of similarity.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
I would be curious if the link of the moms, myself included here, because I hated math and I felt like I was always bad at it.
it was the subject that brought me to tears and anxiety the most. Mm-hmm. If there's a link between that experience and then as moms with children being afraid their kids won't learn.
Right. Math, and a lot of us had the experience that was really sexist about math, that math is for men. And, and the engineering schools that are full of men, not women. Or ask your brother, ask your dad, don't ask me.
Yeah.
So there's like a social layer onto it that is really unfortunate.
Yeah.
And I think that that is probably really playing a bigger role here than we recognize.
Yeah.
Because they talk about the research that about are boys really better than girls at math, and they are not until a certain age, and then they are. And it has to do with socialization. It has to do with, I don't want to look too smart or the boys won't like me. Or I don't want to, you know, there's just a weird, we have a weird culture.
Yeah, we do.
You know, so I think that math gets swept up in that a little bit.
Do you think that when we talk about learning as a lifestyle and that math pops up everywhere, kind of like what you said when they don't have, like the hail bays, like the farmers, they didn't have the labels for it, but they had the experience. Do you think that we get caught up in thinking that that experience isn't going to translate on a test or?
Oh, absolutely. That's what people worry about. Yeah. I think how will we test you if you have it in your head in some convoluted way?
Yeah.
And then we're focused on the test.
Right.
And the fact that it's in their head in some convoluted way will untangle as needed.
Yeah.
You know, because it really will. That's how our brains work, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that, I think that sometimes too, we have to look at, my brain is still thinking about the girls and the boys in math. Sorry.
No, that's a deep dive there for sure.
If you as a mom think, I need to worry about my son's learning math more than my daughter's learning math, there's a red flag for you.
Yeah.
And my friend Pam Sarushian wrote an article that's over at the Unschooling Mom to Mom blog about are boys smarter than girls about math? And so she has a lot of statistics and studies and things, because of course that's how her brain works. And so that's over there for those people that want to start to do a deeper dive on that. And even the course, because the learning math course that I have, the way it's broken down is, you know, I don't know if some of your people have seen, I have these unschooling guides that are PDFs, 20-30 pages.
You're reading
one. Okay. That are on different topics that people are afraid of. And so each of them are broken down into in the nest, stuff in your home and your community. Then a second section that's about you, your internal resistance and fears and things that you need to overcome. And then the kids, what about the kids? And so that's how this course is laid out too. So the course has a section on how to find math in your house, how to look for it, how to do the scavenger hunt, how to start to see it in places that has been living right next to you all along, you know, where you're cooking and you're like, cut me 2 tablespoons off that stick of butter. And they've got to look at it and see, and that's math.
Right.
I mean, that's, and I know that a lot of people will say, okay, but cooking math is not enough. And it is enough when they're little.
Yeah.
And it is not the only thing happening, because they're also looking at the weather, you know, what's the percentages, what's the precipitation, what's the aquifer doing, you know, that we're talking to them about what's the humidity, how does that feel, what's the percent, look how it's described in these percentages and in these degrees, and oh, and if you were in England, they'd say it in Celsius, and we say it in Fahrenheit. And so we're having, when we're not so worn out from doing curriculum, we can have real life conversations with them.
Yes.
We can say, you want to go to Disneyland, and it costs this much and it's going to take this many days and dad has to get off work for this many, you know, all the math that happens. You can have a conversation about it.
Yeah.
And it's real life practical. You're giving them life skills as well as math skills, because math skills are no different than history skills or reading skills or art skills or any of those things. And, you know, we really, if what they're teaching in the school or in homeschooling, algebra, calculus, all of those things, where is that in your life?
That was always my biggest question in school.
Well, and so now,
and I just got, well, you need to be well-rounded. That was always my.
Well-rounded for what? For what? I'll tell you, the only math that I really do that's more than just simple computation is ratio and proportion, where I have to like do my little, okay, this is to this, is this is to this. So, and at a high school age, I'm making sure my kids know how to do ratio and proportion. One, I would say probably didn't even listen to me. And it doesn't matter because she runs her own business. It's going to be $1 million business this year.
Wow.
And it's because she's doing what she loves.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't think she can't. And she doesn't think, I'm no good at math. I don't think I should do that. But when you're sitting there teaching kids they're no good at writing or math or reading or whatever, you're having a bigger impact than you realize. And I think that we have this opportunity to have a different approach to life, approach to their young adulthood, and a connection. And we can fill some of those things that don't get filled when you send a kid off to school for 8 hours. Or when you're saying, finish these lessons for my conditional approval.
Right.
You know? And then how kids translate that.
Yeah.
Because we say, well, of course I love them. They know I love them. But when you're like, how many times do I have to tell you, do this, remember this? And when we say that over and over, that's the voice they're going to remember.
Yeah.
Not that little snuggly, but I love you. Because then actually it's kind of weirder, because then it's like you have all this negative stuff and they love me. And you're like, oh my gosh. You know, so as opposed to if you're like, I mean, that's kind of more of a worldview type of thing, but it's more of a, it's okay if you can't do this right now. It's okay if you don't even want to do this right now. When the time comes, I'll be here to help you do it.
Yeah. And, well, that's what I've been telling my son. When you're ready, I'm here.
Right. And I'm not in a hurry.
Right.
Because your brain is busy learning other things.
Yeah.
And the learning belongs to you.
Yeah.
It's your learning, not my learning. And that's sometimes also this factor, because it really is whether we're getting our gold star.
Yeah.
Whether we as a mom are, am I seen as a good mom? Am I seen as a good homeschooler? Am I seen as those kind that are being.
And I think that's key right there that I'm learning, is that the whole spiral of thoughts of, am I doing enough down the rabbit trail, is 100% the gold star. We were trained to get the gold star. Now we feel like we have to keep doing
And we were trained to look like we deserve the gold star, not necessarily even to do it. So that's why you'll see, you've got families that have all kinds of curriculum at home and the mom is like, outside the family, they look like this. Inside the family, they look different.
Yeah.
And it's really image.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, all of these things, you know, that's one of the things in my membership group that you're like, wow, I had no idea I was going to have to work on myself so much. But it makes you, it helps you rise up. It helps you be a better mom. It helps you be a better person. It helps you have more self-esteem.
Yeah.
It helps you handle those wounds that you're bringing with you into adulthood that do not need to be passed on to your kids. It's not up to your kids to solve your wounds.
Yeah.
You solve them.
Yeah.
You know? So.
And I think that's the other thing that I would add too, is like, when we talk to our kids the way you're talking about, we speak it back to ourselves. And when we're saying, you don't have to do that to get my approval, we speak it back to ourselves. And And we have grace with ourselves that, like you're saying, a lot of us have those wounds,
right,
educational or otherwise, and to give ourselves grace for when that it's not going to be a one and done deal. We're not going to magically wake up and be healed tomorrow.
Right.
It's a journey.
And I know that, like, a lot of times in more religious communities, they're very anti-unschooling, and they're very, they believe that it's a more of a top-down type of thing. So one of the things I would invite them to consider is God doesn't love you less because you can't do algebra.
Amen.
God doesn't love you less because of something that happened in a school system that said was important and you got approval. I mean, if you're going to go in that direction, then go in that direction.
Yeah.
You know, see what unconditional is about.
Yeah.
And then be it.
Yes. I love that. I'm a believer in Jesus. So I 100%.
And you were. And I know that a lot of people that follow you. And I think that's really important.
And that's an added layer. That is an added layer of deconstruction.
Of guilt. Of guilt and shame, right?
Yeah. So... absolutely. So I love that message specifically. That's very near and dear to my heart for people who do have strong faith that you can unschool.
Right. I think there's even a Christian unschooling group. There used to be on Facebook.
Okay.
Because my friend Miller was in it, and her kids are grown now.
Yeah.
And they were, Jennifer McGrail, she ran the Phoenix conference for a while, an unschooling conference, and I think she started it or was big in it.
Yeah.
So it's there.
For your yeah. And I think that's also, to go back to the pioneer question thing, I think that's kind of too what I was referring to, because growing up, to me, I was obviously not homeschooled, but at our church, there were a lot of homeschoolers. Mm-hmm. And it was always faith reasons that they homeschool.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. But it's funny to me now, because when people ask me my number one reason for homeschooling, it's not my faith. That's not my number one reason.
Right.
Of course, my faith can't be separated from myself. Right. But that's not my main reason for homeschooling.
Right. So. Yeah. In the 90s, there was a big push for religious homeschoolers for a variety of reasons that I won't bore you with, but I have a million, you know, and you were either like religious or crunchy granola.
Yeah,
and those are your two options. And then I'm like, what about me? I'm kind of I used to always say, we're kind of lame Christians. You know, we don't really go, but we believe. And we don't make our own bread, but we and we're from the suburbs, and we wore plastic diapers, and I only breastfed for a year, and you know,
it's a mix. It's complex. We're all complex.
I know, and I'm like, where do I fit in? And then it's so funny. My mom was a social worker. She was an adult protective service worker, and she used to say, she was not a homeschooling fan at all. She was also a teacher, and she wasn't a homeschooling fan until Michael was an exchange student and Katie got the lead in the play, and then all of a sudden she's pulling out the brag book, you know. And but she said, you're not going to be in anything that you can't be the president of. because when I went to Alaska and I tried to join their group, they had a statement of faith thing that you had to sign. And that was something that happened in the 90s. And I think it still happens in a lot of places. But and they even had a state-run organization that only the men were the leaders. Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, no. No, you can't be in that group. You are way too mouthy for those men. And in fact, they wrote about me. They're like, oh, you're going to slide down the slippery slope if you go to Sue's field trip. Oh, holy moly. Anyway,
I love it. I can listen to you all day. It's so funny.
I'm like, that should be totally cut out of the podcast. Anyway, so only the 9-10 people that are here. You guys got the inside scoop. So anyway, let me just tell you, finish about the math course, because of course. course, you know, I'm always trying to help people
see.
So it's got then the middle section is all about you, your own math anxiety, all the things, walk through on what's going on with you that makes you prioritize math. And then the third section is all about the kids, books to read, movies to watch, ways to play, strewing, all the different things that happen that allow math to permeate your life and you to notice it. And so I think it'll really help anybody. I think that I think what's really going to happen is once people see it, they're like, oh, well, we do all that. Right. I know all that. I don't really, you're right. I don't need that. I don't need Christmas. And then you're done. You're free.
Yeah.
It's like I've lifted the hatch.
Yep.
Come out.
Yeah. Well, and I think your daughter's example is perfect. Like, so mom, they went to school for K through 12 and now they're taking the same class that I'm taking.
Exactly.
And or they didn't take their remedial class. Okay. But so what? You have to take a remedial class.
Right.
That sounds way better than 13 years of
exactly of having it pummeled into you, things
right.
that you aren't gonna need
right
really right. really if you think about if your listeners will think about what math do you really use, just take a piece of paper and write it down. Where what do you do that's mathy? You are measuring whether your car needs oil, you know, you are, is it time to get what's the tire gauge? It could have to do with cars. It could have to do with personal finance. It could have to do with consumer math. It could have to do with all the different ways that math comes into our lives.
Yeah.
And so when we look at what's the reality of it, that idea of you need to learn this to be well-rounded is bogus.
Yeah.
I mean, that for
what?
So the math teacher has a job, you know, so the math curriculum companies can make money. No.
Right.
So I always think that's why unschooling is kind of a mother's movement. You know, I think of it as we are taking our kids back and we are saying, we don't need your stuff. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
We can handle this. We don't have to be brainiacs. We just have to know how to find the resources we need.
Yeah.
And now with the internet, my gosh, everything's available.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait for Thursday library day.
Right.
You know? Or I hope I remember to look up that thing that he asked about last Tuesday. Instead, we're laying in bed and we're looking up, oh, did you see this guy? So you do that kind of stuff and you really help kids learn that learning is fun and it opens doors and it helps you find answers to your questions.
Yeah.
And that's what life's all about.
Yeah.
And so it's not about I'm checking somebody else's box.
Yes.
Or I'm a good girl or a good boy because now mom's happy with me because I wrote
my
You know.
Yeah. Well, I think you just kind of answered the last question right there of encouraging moms who are struggling and letting go, especially regarding math. And I think you kind of just answered that of we have the world at our fingertips now. So
right. Don't play small. Don't play small because it's familiar.
Yeah.
You know, link arms, find other people that have done this before you. I'll be happy to talk to anybody. Yeah. And, you know, the podcast, I've got a couple of math things on there. There is that, just like you have that reading guide, there's a $15 guide for math, a whole bunch of stuff. If you like to learn it through video, the course, it's only like about an hour and a half worth of videos, and it will change your life if you're freaked out about math. And it's only half price in July.
Nice. That's right. I'll make sure I have that in the notes.
Okay.
Cool.
And let me think if there's anything. No. I'm just so happy that we connected because.
Me too. I'm so cool. This is so fun.
Yeah. And pre-COVID, I guess maybe once my kids grew up and I stopped going to park days, and we would spend a lot of hours just chatting with people about life and education and confidence and wondering what needed to happen. And I feel like we don't have that as much. And then COVID kind of like locked that in, that we don't have that much.
Yeah.
And so I feel like this is kind of that.
Yeah.
I love it. So I'll come back anytime you want to chat.
Thank you. I will take you up on that, because I feel like there's so much more we could discuss.
We could do it.
I know a few different, I forget who it was. I think it was Raising Wild Saints here. It was like, you're such a fresh breath of air. So we're so
I'm glad because you can be too, you know, and all it takes is just a little bit of nerve.
Yeah.
And so just come stand by people that make you feel more confident. They got to be as a step or two ahead of you.
Yeah.
They don't have to have been all done.
Yeah.
They just have to be a little further along. And then I can show you with that Homeschooled Teens book that all these kids that have done fine. I'm telling you that if this didn't work, I wouldn't come here and tell you to do it.
Right. You know,
I'm just telling you to do it because you're making yourself miserable doing it a way that doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
That is simply familiar. It's simply what somebody else told you. It's also simply the way the world was 20 or 30 years ago.
Right.
It was changing then, and it has certainly changed now.
Absolutely.
So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Sue. It was so fun.
Thank you. And I'm glad we were able to make it work.
Yes. Have a wonderful evening.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Uh-huh. We'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.